Hello and welcome to Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions, where we talk about scientific misconceptions we all have, and we hope that you learn something new about the world. I'm here with my co-host, Camden, the procrastinator, Hanslick Burton.
And joining me is my favorite two co-hosts, Harvey, there it is, yeah. Squeaks Poetry, and Margaret, the, is this taste expired? Hanslick Burton.
I can always tell when you haven't planned a nickname because it starts with a question. It's always a question.
Welcome to the show.
Our first segment every week is where we share something that we're excited about. Camden.
We went to a social distant wedding where this dog that you can maybe hear munching in the background is, we had fun with her and her parents. And
her parents got married. Congratulations, Beth and Justin.
Yeah, we went out to the Olympic Peninsula. It was really fun. We played one of my highlights besides the wedding, of course, and the beautiful marriage and like scenery was playing balls on wood, which is a fun version of croquet, where we took it to the extreme by zip lining down a small hill with a croquet ball between our knees. And then at the bottom, we would let go
of the zip line,
of the ball with our knees and try to get it to go through a wicket. It was a very intense
Nobody got it.
No one did it, but people got close.
I got very close.
So if you've never ziplined with a croquet ball between your legs, what are you waiting for? Margaret, what did you do this weekend?
Well, I was also at the wedding, and it was also beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
and
I did see you there.
Yes, I was there. It was lovely and amazing, and the tiniest and most wonderful wedding, I would say.
Yep. That's the hashtag.
But I'm also excited. Oh, Harvey's scooted a little closer so that she can chew a little
ASMR
louder.
Fans.
Wait, listen.
Now she's just looking.
Okay. But I am excited that I got to be on our friend of the podcast, Audio Obscura. I got to be the obscurist for their 50th episode.
Can you describe quickly what Audio Obscura is?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't have to be quick, but I guess I meant briefly.
Sure. So, Audio Obscura is a great podcast hosted by David Martinez and Michael Foster, where each week one of them chooses an obscure like audio source, like a podcast about, you know, something like collecting pen knives or something very, very obscure. And the other person has to guess based on a couple samples of audio what the audio source is about.
And you got to host.
And I got to host
it. For the first time ever, they had a guest host.
Yeah. So I got to have them guess what the audio source was. Really, really fun. Give it a listen. Audio Obscura. Listen to any episode. It doesn't have to be mine, but they're great.
Yeah. Yeah. I listened to it today. It was very funny.
Thank you.
Very, very good. People who give it a listen will enjoy how Margaret begins the entire episode.
Harvey's
now you can really get her chomping away on this bone right up close to the mic.
Why don't we have a soft?
Yeah, here's a soft toy. She hasn't chewed this bone, ladies and gentlemen, all day.
Speaking of sounds,
yeah,
we have a new feature that we premiered last episode called "What Is That Sound?" Cameron, give us a theme song.
All right, that's good.
So, friends. We are just 2 weeks away from our 40th episode, and it's really exciting because we have so many more misconceptions, but we also have many cool ideas for how to keep things. We are just 2 weeks away. We're one episode, but 2 weeks away.
Yep.
Sorry, was thinking about it. But we want to keep things fresh and exciting and, above all, educational. So last week, Camden introduced us to a new segment called "What Is That Sound?" where we keep the spirit of the show, which is where one of us researches something the other one doesn't know about. Mm-hmm. So I, this week, have found a sound that I'm going to play.
It's Harvey eating a bone.
You guessed it. Never mind. No, I found something else. I'm going to play it, and you have to tell me what you think it is.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to play it. I'm going to hold the microphone near the speaker.
Sure.
Okay.
Only the best quality for us.
I'm going to hold it. I'm going to hold it near.
Really shake the microphone, though, too. Get a lot of weird.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Harvey, are you ready?
All right. So first pass.
Do you want to hear it again? Oh, sorry.
Well, I'm going to get, it sounds like someone is walking on cellophane in a rainstorm while chewing like old chips. But I think we established last week the sound should be of some sort of scientific origin.
Chips have chemicals.
Which we did agree last week could be anything. But I think probably going to guess with the theme that this is an animal of some sort.
Uh-huh.
This is an animal making a sound with its mouth.
I'm not sure.
You're not getting me. All right, one more time.
Okay. I might find another. I found another clip that is the same thing.
Okay.
I don't know if that will be helpful.
Yeah, because I really, I just tip of my lizard
tongue.
Okay,
here we go.
Have I heard it?
Yeah, that one was not as good. Let me go back to the other one. Sorry.
Those are the two sounds?
Mm-hmm. So what you're listening for is the little...
All I heard was the sound of crackling cellophane in a rainstorm.
You're very close. It is, in fact... Do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Parrotfish eating coral.
Wow. So it is a hard, crunchy thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Parrotfish eating coral.
Parrotfish literally are like little fish that have like big old parrot beaks.
Big old little parrot beaks. Yeah.
And coral is a little hard. Well, Margie, you're the aquarist here.
Coral is a little hard thing that parrotfish eat with their parrot beaks. It is hard to find a... It's hard to find a good amateur clip of that one because, as you heard in that second clip, it's a lot of scuba breathing.
Oh, that's what I was hearing.
So it's hard to hear the little, but you can. So parrotfish eat coral. Parrotfish eat coral.
Is that good?
I mean, in a world in which everything else is in balance, it's completely fine.
In a world where we're losing coral.
Please do not blame parrotfish for... the downfall of coral reefs. It is not their fault. There are many other factors. Use reef safe sunscreen, everybody.
Yeah.
So that was, what is that sound, Camden?
What is that sound? Where are you walking down the street?
So now let's head into the main segment of the show, which of course are the misconceptions. So every week we each bring a new scientific misconception to share, explain, and discuss. So 99% of the time, 95% of the time, we don't tell each other what the misconception that we're going to be covering is.
Ladies and germs, it went from 100% to 95% this week.
It did. I have an idea of what Camden is doing. But we don't give each other any more information usually than just like a keyword. So
you'd be really annoyed if you chose the same thing I did this week.
I really don't think I did. So we are going to... flip a coin or do what's that random object generator you had?
Last week you said you had a coin. So
I did, but I didn't bring a coin this time. What's that? That's that generator you had? Okay, so here it is. I entered two random objects into this, what's it called? Random picker. Field roast and waffle fries.
Wow. All right.
I'm a little hungry.
Okay.
So I'm going to click it. Which one do you want?
Waffle fries.
It's spinning. What did it choose?
Oh, it's a spinner?
What did it choose?
Did it crash?
Field roast.
Oh, you won?
I won.
Wow. Yes. Good for you, man.
For those of you who don't know, field roast is a really good little festive meat substitute. It's like a little, it's not like a ham. I don't know. It's really good. It's really good. Field roast. Okay. That's not the point here. The point is, it's my misconception. Wow. Finally, I get Congrats. To go first. Thank you very much. Big day.
Main billing. Live up to it.
So, as we mentioned, we are babysitting a precious, perfect dog right now who is sleeping somewhere. Her name is Harvey.
Now she gets off the bone.
Yeah, now she's not. No, she's not chewing on her bone. And I love dogs a lot. I less so now because I don't see very many dogs in this quarantine stay-at-home period. I let them kiss my face, and I never really worry about their germs. And maybe part of this practice is influenced by the quote-unquote fact I'd heard.
All dogs go to heaven.
They do. That, no, that is a scientifically true fact. Oh. Yes, because they're the best in the world and we don't deserve them.
Got it.
No, by the fact I'd heard that dogs' mouths are cleaner than human mouths.
Oh, boy.
Oh, she's going to bed. Can we hear that, listeners? Good night, Harper. Good night. She's going to bed on her camping bed right next to us. This is perfect because we're talking all about your mouth, Harvey. So my sources were Erica Engelhaupt's article in National Geographic and the Live Science article by Jesse Jang. Oh, we're going to bed on the couch now. Okay.
Would you like some chips, Harvey, or anything else while you're just sort of scooting around the recording booth?
So yes, I'm talking about the fact that many of us have the misconception that a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's mouth.
Uh-oh.
It's a light uh-oh, but it's okay. Not really a, to me, it's not really a life-altering uh-oh, but yeah. We'll get into it. So according to, ironically, Dr. Colin Harvey, a professor of dentistry and surgery at UPenn School of Veterinary Medicine, it's kind of hard to compare the mouths of dogs and humans. They are obviously much the same in many ways. They have teeth. They've got gums. There's a big old tongue in the middle there. But
you're really breaking down a mouth to its pieces there.
I'm getting pretty anatomical. The bacteria, though, found in the mouths of dogs is really different generally than what's found in human mouths.
Okay.
Dogs' mouths have their own separate, beautiful, germy biosphere. But they're just
a whole biosphere.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whole biosphere. But there are just as many germs in their mouths as there are in ours.
When you say many, you mean just like
many, many bacteria species.
Gotcha.
I'll get into it. But for example, just right off the top, we can both have the family of bacteria called Porphyromonas.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Porphyromonas. Mm-hmm. I think I was right about that. We can both have that family of bacteria in our mouths. This is a type of bacteria that causes gum infections, that can cause teeth to loosen and fall out in both dogs and people. But we have different species. So dogs have the P. gulae species, and humans have the P. gingivalis species. So same family, generally different species of that type of bacteria, that family of bacteria. Any guesses as to how many species of bacteria are commonly found in human mouths, Camden?
1,007.
Wow. Specific and high. About 400 to 500.
Okay.
400 to 500 commonly found in human mouths. And there's a researcher named Floyd Dewurst, who is a bacterial geneticist.
Yeah, you could do worse with that name.
Right. At the Forsyth Institute, he, with his team of researchers, has found that there are approximately 400 species of oral bacteria in dogs' mouths.
Oh.
And he thinks that more will be discovered. So we're right about the same there in terms of the number of species. We also share about 15% of the same species of oral bacteria with dogs.
Let's name them. We'll go back and forth. You okay. Start.
S. mutans.
Great. I lose.
Yes. So some of those we see in both, 15% of those we see in both. But some dental diseases, bacteria, fare better in human mouths than in dog mouths. and that may contribute to why this misconception that dogs' mouths are cleaner happens. It's possible. I couldn't really find a good origin of why we think that. But
is it the maybe you're going to get into this? Is it just the idea that kind of like how dogs and humans can like host things that the other one just like it doesn't affect the other one? Like, is it one of those where like they might give us bacteria that just can't survive in our mouths or on us?
It's possible. Yeah. There are really different conditions. Like the S. mutans, for example, they need a slightly more acidic environment to thrive, and human mouths are more acidic than dogs' mouths. And so therefore S. mutans affects humans more than dogs.
Okay.
There is a misconception inside this misconception that I learned today that human bites were thought to cause more infection than dog bites.
Oh.
Had you heard that?
No.
I hadn't either, but apparently it's a rumor. But it's not true, so unlearn that. because, as often happens with these misconceptions, it depends. So it depends on the type of bacteria.
How hard the person bit you.
Yeah, actually, yes. How deep the bite is. Those all can have an impact.
Humans biting people as often as dogs are? Not that dogs are biting people willy-nilly.
You would hope not.
Yeah.
You would really hope not. I learned that 10 to 15% of dog bites get infected. And again, I don't know how deep they were or whatever. But 50% of cat bites get infected.
Ooh.
So be careful out there. And of course, experts say that whether you're bitten by a human or a dog, wash the wound thoroughly. And if it's really deep, go to the emergency room. Take care of it. Wash it out. One kind of origin that I heard about possibly why people think this, possibly, is that in mythology, there are stories of like heroes letting dogs lick their wounds and their wounds healing.
Is that because dogs will lick their own wounds?
Dogs do lick their own wounds, yes. And
that people must think that
they'd be good for them too. But it's wrong. Do not, I repeat, do not let your dog lick your wounds. Not a good idea. I don't know why you would, but please, please don't do that.
Oof.
Because, like you said,
I feel like you could just get wealthy off of that homeopathic.
What, like,
it's not homeopathic, but
dog
like that
saliva
alternative.
Yeah, diluted just, down 10,000 times. Yep. I'm sure it exists. But you, like you were saying, two dogs, studies have shown that dog saliva was found to have a little bit of an antibacterial effect when a mother dog licked herself or her puppies.
Cute.
So amongst their own species, it can be helpful. But when it comes to humans, It is not helpful. In fact, it can be extremely harmful. I was reading.
So don't even let mother dogs lick your wounds.
Don't let anyone lick your wounds. That's just.
Not even mother humans?
No.
Oh.
No. But I was reading some cases of people who either on purpose or accidentally let their dog lick like their wounds, and it led to comas. It led to amputations. So please, please, please be careful. Do not let your dog lick your wounds. Like if you've got a big wound on your face, don't let your dog lick your face.
Got it.
Yes, thank you. And then if you're worried, if you're like, oh gosh, there's so much bacteria.
There's so many wounds. There's so many dogs are around me. What do I do?
There's so much bacteria. Veterinarian Catherine Prim says that in general, like if you don't have wounds on your body, general good hygiene, general cleanliness should take care of pet bacteria. So if your dog licks your hands, don't stick your hands in your mouth until you wash them. So we're all washing our hands a lot anyway these days.
What about when a dog licks your nose? It gets a little too friendly and it just sort of...
Well, don't lick your own nose then right after.
Got it.
Yeah?
Nailed it. Yep.
So if you have a weak immune system or if you have a wound, then having a dog lick you is not a good idea. If you've got a weak immune system, don't let a dog lick you in the mouth. But otherwise, just general good hygienic practices should take care of that bacteria. And we should all be practicing those anyway, because dog mouths and human mouths have about the same level of cleanliness, if you can even compare the two.
Hmm. Thanks, Margaret.
You're welcome. Can I leave you with one fun fact?
Yeah.
Okay. I was looking at Harvey when I was researching this and trying to see if it was true. And I think it is, based on anecdotal evidence from myself. But a new study shows that when given human attention, dogs will produce a wider range of facial expressions.
Harvey.
She's raising her eyebrows.
Yep, I see it.
Yeah, so that's my misconception. Nice.
So you're still going to let Harvey lick your little face?
Yep. As long as I don't have an open wound.
Nice. Stay away from my face wounds. Well, thanks, Margaret.
That was such a weird experience to go first.
Yeah, I feel very... I think we're done here.
I think
yeah. so. Bye, everybody.
No. I think you've still got to do yours.
All right, I'll go. Well, speaking of keeping diseases out of your face...
Yeah.
Margaret, if I asked you right now to go outside...
No.
What would you do to get ready to go outside?
I would... Right now?
Yep.
I'd put on a little sweater.
Yep.
I'd put on my little sandals.
Yep. Margaret wears things way too small for her. Yep.
I'd put Harvey on her leash. Uh-huh. And I would probably put on a face mask.
Ah.
In fact, I would.
How would you put on said mask?
Well, we have a little hanger of clean masks.
Uh-huh.
And I would use the little straps and put it around my ears, make sure it was covered over my nose and my mouth.
Oh, but Margaret.
What? What?
How do you breathe when that mask's on? Don't it block that?
The way I normally breathe.
But does it block that sweet oxygen?
No, it doesn't.
Here we go.
No, it doesn't. The end. Good night. Oh, do you want me to do an oxygen
thing? Here we go. So, today, if you Google... Today being July 23rd?
Well, 4th when this comes out.
If you Google, can masks lower oxygen, or do masks make it harder to breathe, you will find these results. Doctor runs 22 miles wearing a face mask to show it doesn't cut oxygen levels, from Newsweek. An Irish doctor wore 6 masks while wearing a blood oxygen saturation monitor, from ABC 7 News Chicago. Google Trend right now says searches for do masks reduce oxygen peaked in popularity on July 4th, but did not even register on their charts until March 22nd, probably a week or two into the U.S. side of the pandemic. Even as recently as June 13th, it had a score of 0.
In terms of the number popularity. Of searches? Okay.
They do it by, like, popularity, so it's sort of like a relative search. So it had a popularity of 100 on July 4th.
Hmm.
So it didn't say, like, millions of searches.
Okay. Just,
But so it is a recent phenomenon. Mm-hmm. It is certain, even within this pandemic, it has not been a recently wondered question.
Mm-hmm.
Can masks reduce oxygen or make it harder to breathe? As you could probably guess, the doctor who ran 22 miles was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he ran a lot before. So I also don't want anyone walking out of here thinking, if I wear a mask, I could go run 22 miles.
See, that's correlation again.
Right. Don't do that. In fact, listeners, I did not run 22 miles for this episode. I'm so sorry to let you down. But I did run 22 miles around that World Health Organization and CDC website to do some research.
Okay. So let's hear what you found.
Let's hit it right off the bat. Do masks lower oxygen levels? There's a great video that was sent to me by Margaret earlier this week, which is how she knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you search doctors debunk mask wearing myths, you'll see a great example of science in action where if you've ever been to a doctor or a hospital, they will put this little like clip on your finger that measures your blood oxygen saturation. Obviously, quick lesson is when you breathe in, that oxygen goes where?
Into your blood.
It goes, goes into your lungs and then into your blood through your lungs. And that blood shoots across your entire body, carries it to all your cells, which need oxygen. Blood goes all the way to your fingertips. And then you can have a little device that measures your blood oxygen levels. Anyone who's ever been probably in like an emergency room or just like had surgery of any kind, outside of like a normal, and sometimes doctor's visits too.
Oh yeah. Doctor's visits. I feel like they do it all the time.
Now that I think about it, I've had that before.
Yeah.
they'll tell you your blood saturation. It's usually like 95% and above. And there's several doctors doing this. It's actually become a very popular trend. If you go on Twitter, you'll see a bunch of doctors videotape themselves with a mask without it.
And
surprise, it doesn't change your blood oxygen levels.
I wondered if that would be the case.
A study from the National University Hospital in Singapore did a study on pregnant healthcare workers. And those people who were pregnant, they found that maternal and fetal heart rates, capillary oxygen levels, mm-hmm. Oxygen saturation levels had no change.
When they were wearing a mask.
When they were wearing a mask or not. And this is when they were looking at sort of two layers, not only the woman.
But the fetus.
Or the person who was pregnant, but also
the fetus
within that person. So that's one example of, it doesn't affect your blood saturation.
It seems like a fairly simple test to do.
It's very simple. Now, we're going to get a little, the reason I start with that is that right away, people might say, okay, fine. But, and Margaret, you work at a place where you see a lot of people. Sometimes they will give you the excuse, well, I have a condition that doesn't allow me, that I don't breathe as easy, such as a very common one, asthma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What if I have asthma? I really liked what this Dr. Courtney Gardner said in Kentucky. She says only frontline healthcare workers should wear N95 masks, which is due to their scarcity. Right. And the other two types of masks in the general public are the surgical masks and handmade cloth masks.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of variety for those masks. Some are more breathable and make you feel less hot or cool, similar to the clothing you wear. If you are asthmatic when you are hot, that makes you feel like you're going to have an asthma attack.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't wear like a sweater in the summer. Very similarly, there are masks that like that make you have this like sensation of being hotter, mm-hmm. more or less.
Oh yeah.
The type of like cloth that you can use can make you feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
If wearing a mask makes you feel uncomfortable, it is important to remember that respiratory illnesses, such as asthma, cause inflammation of the lungs. That is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, those who have respiratory issues and illnesses are at an incredibly higher risk of coming down with more severe complications from catching viruses that infect your respiratory system, which, yes, is the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
So... Mm-hmm. While it doesn't make you more likely to catch coronavirus,
it makes your symptoms more extreme if you have it.
You could have it in much more severe level if you have respiratory illnesses. So on one hand, you might say, I don't feel comfortable. It feels like my breathing is being restricted.
Mm-hmm.
The more deadly end of that is that you catch coronavirus.
Yep.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
There is no evidence that wearing a mask will worsen the symptoms of asthma. This is according to the American College of Allergies, Asthma, and Immunology.
I feel like they would know.
Yes, because there's also this question people have had, like, if I have allergies, is it dangerous? There's been no cases to show that this is shown to be, like, cause worse symptoms
mm-hmm.
of those conditions. Some people may feel like it is more difficult to breathe with a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't feel comfortable wearing a mask due to your asthma, there are two very easy solutions. One of which is do not go out of your house unless you absolutely need to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are just going to like hang out like in a public place, such as like a place that you don't need to be going, like for entertainment,
mm-hmm.
you should not be doing that. Like going to a restaurant and you have asthma and don't feel comfortable wearing a mask, you should not do that.
I'm sure you're going to, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
If you feel like you must and you absolutely feel like wearing a mask, which again has not been shown to worsen those symptoms.
The asthmatic symptom
or allergies mm-hmm. or other people with like some respiratory illnesses. Mm-hmm. There is a solution. If you are right now listening to me thinking, Camden, that is heartless. I have this condition. How dare you say that? I have another solution. It is called a face shield. Mm-hmm. Before this episode, I looked it up. They are selling, and not even through supporting organizations like Amazon, which you don't want to. You can support tons of other companies mm-hmm. who sell them for, I found so many under $10. Mm-hmm. If you don't want to wear it, there are solutions that don't involve a mask. Mm-hmm. Personally, there are many types of masks out there.
Yep.
You do not have to wear the restrictive N95s, which will make it feel like it is harder to breathe. Again, you are getting the same amount of oxygen.
Yep.
So it's not actually affecting your ability to breathe. Mm-hmm. Your lungs are still getting oxygen. Mm-hmm. But if it is like a mental thing to you, mm-hmm. wear a face shield. They are as cheap to find right now, basically, as a mask. I haven't bought a mask recently. I would imagine under $10 is probably within the same range of mm-hmm. buying a nice mask.
Yeah.
There is a face shield if you must go outside and you really feel like you shouldn't wear a mask.
Yeah.
There's another popular idea that it will lead to you breathing in more carbon dioxide.
Oh, wearing a mask will?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah, similarly, they have measured carbon dioxide. Any biology teacher will tell you there are little devices that are very easy to measure carbon dioxides with mm-hmm. carbon dioxide levels within the air. It does not raise the carbon dioxide to any sort of level, like at any dangerous level. If you want something scary, another thing most teachers will know, if you walk outside right now, thanks to global warming, the carbon dioxide levels, I mean, it depends, but in like most areas are around 400 something parts per million. Mm-hmm. If you are indoors, it is closer to a several thousand parts per million. Mm. Already being indoors.
Indoors increases it?
Mm-hmm. Indoors increases it. You're just in a contained environment.
That makes sense, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, if you open the window, like, and sure. it can change rapidly.
Yeah.
You are not going, like, you are going to maybe reach the levels of that. Like, you just being indoors is already as dangerous, and it's not even that dangerous.
You're, right.
The carbon dioxide levels you can take are not dangerous. And this is also not just from me anecdotally, this is from the World Health Organization.
Can I add something real quick? So it's a good reminder that not everybody can choose whether or not to go to work right now. As someone who has to go to work in person, there are people who may not be comfortable in a mask that have to go to work. But it's a good reminder to support companies that provide health care and paid sick leave to their employees. So I would suggest doing some research before you get takeout or buy something online, making sure that if they have a policy in place that if their employees get sick, they're able to stay home and have the privilege to not have to go out if they have COVID symptoms or are diagnosed with COVID. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So other things that people I'm sure have seen around, what about covering my nose? Mm-hmm. If I'm covering mm-hmm. my mask, is that good enough?
Cover my mouth.
If I'm covering my mouth with my mask, is that good enough? Mm-hmm. Margaret, when you sneeze, do you normally cover both nostrils or one of them?
I normally cover my ears.
Interesting. Still an orifice, kind of works. Why is that a silly idea to just cover one nostril?
Because stuff will come out the other one.
Yep. Your mouth, your nose, your eyes, your ears are all exposed to the outside world. Mm-hmm. Meaning if it is a hole in your head, you can get sick.
Yep.
And if that feels like a visceral thing to think about, then great. I hope it sticks with you. Mm-hmm. Holes in your head get you sick. Mm-hmm. and if it's about comfort, if it's too loose, like it falls off your nose, get a tighter one. Mm-hmm. You can use a twisty tie from Bread. I've watched people do this. I looked this up. You can stitch glue twisty ties onto your mask.
Twist, if yep. you're using like a disposable medical mask, you can twist the, mm-hmm. the sides to make it smaller.
Yep. If it's too tight, you might just have too small a mask. Get a different mm-hmm. mask. It's important, sure, that it's comfortable. It's also just important that whatever you're doing, it's covering as many orifices as possible. Related to that, and even if you're thinking, okay, like I understand that doesn't affect doesn't affect my oxygen levels. It's the same amount whether I have a mask or not. There's no cases of it actually causing worse asthma or allergy attacks. Mm-hmm. In fact, it is more dangerous if those people were to get mm-hmm. coronavirus. Is it even doing anything to prevent coronavirus? A meta-analysis.
You're asking if masks actually do anything to prevent? Yes. Okay.
If a meta-analysis, which in the science world is just a study where they look at multiple published reports and papers mm-hmm. From the McMaster University, Ontario, Canada, looked at 172 observational studies and 44 comparative studies in healthcare and non-healthcare facilities. They found that social distancing of 3 feet led to statistically significantly lower virus transmission levels.
Okay.
And that trend continued every foot further away someone got. So even though it starts at 3 feet, it continues the further and further away you get.
That's why I like to stay 100 feet away from everyone.
And we're going to get to something at that point. So too did wearing cloth masks. However, wearing higher grade masks, like thicker layers of cloth, think the thickness of a towel.
Okay.
For those of you who are like, how thick is like, are we getting closer to N95? Mm-hmm. Generally, like a thick towel is what, and if you think it feels silly to wear a mask of a thick towel, I don't know what else to say to you other than the thicker it is, the more likely you are not going to have something get through it.
The safer, yeah.
N95s clearly are going to lower the transmission rates also. Mm-hmm. Similar to getting 3 feet away, the cloth masks are great. The thicker and more layers of cloth you get, the better. I mentioned holes in your head. Eye protection is also a real consideration. Mm-hmm. I know it is not something we see in the news.
No.
Getting things in your eyes, which is why they say to wash your hands before you touch your face. When they mean face, they mean all of your face. Mm-hmm. If you, and I know this might sound bizarre to you, if you are really serious about being protected, even wearing glasses, real or fake, even wearing goggles, mm-hmm. whether you have feelings about what that looks like in public or not, will make you safer. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we want to be responsible and not cause, misinformation or like pandemonium, but wearing something over your eyes is another way to protect yourself from this virus.
Yeah.
And we laughed sort of a bit about how close or how far away you can get to keep yourself safe. Mm-hmm. Just like there's no minimum level of alcohol that's safe for you, there's like a tolerable amount. There is no level of mask wearing and social distancing, disposing of your mask or washing your mask or washing your hands or using hand sanitizer that is really good enough to keep you perfectly safe.
Yikes.
What I'm saying is there's no like, how like close can I get? How not washed can my hands be? How long can I have been outside? How close can I get to that person? Mm-hmm. It's like the low levels of alcohol. The more you do, the better.
Yeah.
If you are 6 feet away from someone, yes, that is the number everyone's saying. If you are 7 feet away from someone, you are more safe. Yeah. If you are 10 feet away from someone, you are even safer.
Yeah.
All of these numbers are minimum ways to keep you safe, but they are not the only things. Like, there are ways to be even safer. Mm-hmm. If you can always do more, if you don't, like I said earlier, if you don't need to leave your house for something, it is safer to not leave your house mm-hmm. if you have that privilege. Mm-hmm. I just want to share that, like, I think it's easy in these times to hold this very clear line of, like, must do all these things. It's important to wear masks, important to wash your hands, but it's also important to remember that like all of these are just ways to try not to get it. The ways to be safer are to go beyond those minimums.
Right.
So I'll leave you with some final facts here. I talked about Google Trends.
Yeah.
In the beginning, I'll leave you with this. It is depressing to read the Google Trends for do masks reduce oxygen, to watch the explosion of that question go across Google. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. However, I will leave you with this. When I compared it to do mass reduce oxygen compared to social distancing, people are 11 times, it is 11 times more popular to Google social distancing right now. It is 14 times more popular to Google buy hand sanitizer.
Okay.
And it is 28 times more popular right now to Google buy mask.
Okay.
It is so tiring in these times to be bombarded with the news from the people who sadly are not taking this pandemic as seriously as they should. Mm-hmm. I do want to tell you that there are still more people out there trying to do the right thing. I will leave you just with raw statistics here. Pew Research study published in late June of 2020 found that when asked, 65% of Americans say they are always wearing a mask when they leave their house.
Good.
And 15% are saying that they almost always.
Okay.
So between this, about 80%. Again, this is self-reporting. Those numbers went down when they were asked, do they see someone always wearing a mask?
Like, do they see others always wearing masks?
So okay. The perception is less so, mm-hmm. which is probably because we are more tuned into those who are not following the rules.
Yeah, that's who stick out in our mind.
Right. And 76% of Democrats and 53% of Republicans say they always wear a mask.
Okay.
Folks, I'm going to leave you with these statistics today to make just let you think. White Americans were the lowest race in reporting that they always wear masks at 62%. 74% of Americans over the age of 62 say they always wear a mask when they leave the house. Mm-hmm. 62% of those 18 to 29 years old say they always wear a mask. Hmm. 62% of Americans in the top one third of deaths reported due to coronavirus say they always wear a mask. 62% in the top third of deaths in the United States. 33% in the bottom third.
Can you explain those last two again?
So if you take all the deaths in America, mm-hmm. and put those into regions that are the top third of deaths, middle third, and bottom third.
Okay.
So where the most people are dying due to coronavirus and the least. Mm-hmm. In the places where the most people are dying, mm-hmm. 62% of people say that they always wear a mask in those areas.
Okay.
People where the least amount of people are dying, 33% of people report always wearing a mask in those places.
That's so much lower.
It is. It is clearly people's try not to interpret too much for people. When there are a lot of people dying in your community due to the coronavirus, people are more likely to wear a mask.
Oh, interesting.
Which really isn't surprising. Mm-hmm. When you see the deaths and it happening in your own backyard, you are more likely to take this seriously. Mm-hmm. When you are not hearing of deaths being reported, mm-hmm. or your community is thankfully maybe not being as like stricken by this disease, mm-hmm. you are less likely to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Regardless of all of that, wearing a mask does not lower your oxygen levels. It has not been shown to worsen the symptoms of allergies, asthma, or other respiratory illnesses. If you are concerned about your breathing, you may wear a face shield.
And talk to your doctor.
You may wear a face shield.
Right. Wear a face
doctors
shield.
Doctors won't need to prescribe to you a face shield. And above all, take care of yourself and wear a mask because it takes care of others.
Thank you, Camden. I really appreciate that because as someone who is at work right now, not right now, but who goes to work and sees people, that I think what I'm seeing is a lot of misinformation that people have absorbed about masks and what they do and what they don't do and how to wear them properly. And so the more information we can get out there is better, obviously, because it does protect everyone. It's not just about you. It's about your community, the people around you. So thank you. I really appreciate that one.
Yep. And if you're looking for something fun, you can Google the pee analogy for wearing a mask. I found it very funny, but thought maybe not quite appropriate to describe on air.
Well, did we already talk about on here about the thing I've seen going around the internet. It's like, if you like, if you're surprised, like basically comparing the way that people wear face masks to how they use birth control of like, if you're seeing all these people not using masks correctly, like you can't be surprised that birth control methods don't work very well either.
That is very true.
Because people don't know how to use those either.
That is sadly true.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's for a different episode. So, thanks, Cayman. That was really good. Really appreciate that misconception. Before we end each episode, we have a short segment sharing something interesting that we've read, listened to, watched, or otherwise consumed this week. And I have one that I have not consumed completely, but I'm working on it, and I really love it. It's a book called Black Nature, Four Centuries of African-American Nature Poetry. It's edited by Camille T. Dungy, and I have been trying to get back into poetry recently, and this book is an amazing anthology of the Black experience in nature. So I just like to pick it up sometimes and look through and read a couple poems, and yeah, it's really beautifully written, and I'd highly recommend it. Black Nature.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you, Cayman?
I'm reliving my 90s childhood this last couple weeks by watching Super Marcus Wee.
Yes.
If you have Netflix, you've probably already seen it appear many times.
They really want you to watch it.
A wild time the 90s were. Mm-hmm. A lot of colors, a lot of baggy clothes, a lot of hair in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Guy's Grocery Games, it is definitely like the great grandfather of that, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
There's
oh,
something
yeah.
just very weird and like also relaxing about watching people answer questions about food.
And putting giant hams and giant fake hams in their cart.
Yeah. And it also makes me realize I, well, clearly was very little and wasn't like buying my own stuff in the 90s. But I don't remember a lot of brands. Also tells you a lot of brands that are no longer a thing.
Yep.
But yeah, if you just want a thing to take your mind off what's going on sometimes, you should check out Supermarket Sweet. It's really great and it's a blast in the past. It'll have you thinking, 1999? Oh, whoa, that's... It looks like it's 1980.
It's a long time ago. Yeah, Supermarket Sweep on Netflix. Well, thank you all so much for listening today. If you liked this episode... it's late. Or any of our others, please rate us and leave us a quick review. Positive reviews help listeners decide if they want to give us a try. So help us out and help new listeners out by leaving us a quick review.
We have some fabulous new branding with a new logo from friend of the show, Mia Mercado. So you can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/don'tpeeonyourleg, Instagram at instagram.com/don'tpeeonyourleg, and of course, wherever podcasts are found, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, you name it.
Don't Pee on Your Leg and Other Scientific Misconceptions is a podcast produced by Two Birds, One Scone. Articles, blog posts, and more about what you can do every day to conserve our environment can be found at twobirdsonescone.org.
Our original theme music is by Camillo.
If you would like to contact the Kentucky governor to demand justice for Breonna Taylor, and I hope you will, you can call Governor Andy Beshear at 502-564-2611.
If you have scientific misconceptions that you'd like explained or want to provide feedback to us, please email us, as always, at don'tpeeonyourleg@gmail.com.
Have a great week.